Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q4 FY22 earnings conference call of Suprea Lifesciences Limited. Please note that today's call is being recorded. Today on this call, we have Dr. Satish Wagh, Chairman and Managing Director of Suprea Lifesciences Limited, along with the senior management team. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on date of this call. Actual results may differ materially. These statements are not guarantees of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. Now I hand the conference over to Dr. Satish Wagh, Chairman and Managing Director of Suprea Lifesciences Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Very good afternoon and warm welcome to all the participants. Thank you for joining us today to discuss the Suprea Lifesciences Limited Q4 and financial year 2022 results. I am joined by Shri Shambhaikar, the Chief Executive Officer, Mr. Ashish Nayak, the Chief Financial Officer of Suprea Lifesciences, and our investor relations partner, Orient Capital. I hope everyone got an opportunity to go through our financial results and investor presentation, which have been uploaded on the stock exchange as well as the company's website. Starting with the financial performance for financial year 2022, revenues from operation grew by 35% year-on-year, driven by the healthy EBITDA margins of 40% and the PAT margin of 29%. Even though the world continues to face enormous business challenges, we have maintained our performance in financial year 2022. We continue to hold the leadership position in our top three products, chlorpheniramine maleate, ketamine, and salbutamol sulfate of export from India. I am pleased to inform you that the board has recommended a final dividend of 30% in financial year 2022. The same is subject to approval in the annual general meeting. In order to further increase our competitiveness and cater the future expansion plans, the company has strengthened its team by making senior level hiring in operations, research, and business development, and will continue to hire from other functions as well. For future expansion plans, company has recently acquired 80,000 sq m on lease from MIDC at Issambé Industrial Park, dedicated to manufacturing of pharmaceutical ingredients, API, and drug intermediates. With consistent investment and improvement in capacities and capabilities, we have demonstrated a record performance and expect the same focus to endure. With this, I now hand over the call to Mr. Shri Shambhaikar, our CEO, to share the key highlights of our business performance. Over to you, Shirish.
Thank you, Mr. Wagh. Hello, everyone. Hope you're doing well. The financial year 2022, that's the year gone by, was an eventful year with manufacturing activities slowing down in China, new waves of COVID-19, the Ukraine-Russia war that resulted into increase in the cost of raw materials and solvents. There were delays in import and export shipments and delays in raw material supplies. We at Suprea took reasonable measures to counter these challenges by building up inventory of raw materials to ensure smooth operations. Raw material orders were placed well in advance to mitigate delays. Our teams were in close coordination with shipping agents and customers to minimize delays. We also increased our stock levels of solvents to minimize impact of cost increases. Result is that we could deliver a decent growth in top line while maintaining healthy EBITDA and PAT margins. At Suprea Lifesciences, we are focused on ensuring sustainable and consistent performance through development of newer products and penetration into newer geographies. The geographical locations that are distributed within our sales team to focus on sustaining the business and expanding the business are locking in new customers. We at Suprea Lifesciences understand what it takes to manufacture special chemicals and chemical processes that go into the production of our active ingredients with complex process chemistries. We see good opportunities in the CMO and CDMO space. We have initiated discussions on these opportunities with various companies, ranging from big pharma to innovator companies, to work as a partner for supplying products as per their requirements. We plan to reduce customer concentration by penetration of existing products into newer geographies by registering these products and adding niche products that offer higher volumes and pursue CMO/CDMO opportunities. We are currently building two new R&D centers, one at our Lote site, focused on product lifecycle management and backward integration, and the other one in Ambernath with a pilot plant for new molecules and pursuing CMO/CDMO opportunities. The expanded R&D centers at our site in Lote and Ambernath are expected to be fully operational in Q2 and Q3 of this financial year, that is FY23 respectively. With these new facilities, we are now looking at several opportunities in this market, and the potential for an experienced player like us is promising. Currently, as regards the capacities, Supriya facilities are running at full capacity. Supriya is enhancing and expanding infrastructure at our Lote site, not just in R&D, but also in manufacturing, quality laboratories, warehousing, and wastewater treatment. These facilities are expected to be operational during the course of FY23. We have already started work on the next manufacturing block, which we would be calling the E block, at Lote site with a capacity of 350 cubic meters or kiloliters. That would replace an old block with 145 KL or cubic meters capacity. In addition to this, a manufacturing block of about 70 cubic meters is coming up at Ambernath site associated with the R&D facility that is coming up there. Lastly, I would like to touch upon company's backward integration model. The top 12 products that we produce contribute 68% to our total revenue. This integrated business model has helped us grow revenue and sustain margins during the course of last financial year. A large part of growth and sustainability was driven by these backward integrated products. Forging ahead, our focus would be on improving our infrastructure, which includes debottlenecking of our capacity and developing new manufacturing blocks. Overall, in FY22, we made good progress towards new opportunities by launching products which are complementing our existing therapies and product baskets, initiating new capacity projects, and making progress on CMO/CDMO opportunities. With this now, I hand over the call to Mr. Ashish Naik, our CFO, to share the key highlights of our financial performance. Over to you, Ashish.
Thank you, Shirishji and Satishji. Hi, everyone. I will now share the operational performance for the financial year FY22, which is under review. Starting with the therapies, this fourth quarter was a phenomenal quarter for anesthetics, antihistamines, and vitamins. These three therapies have done exceedingly well in the fourth quarter. Our exports for the full financial year stand at 76%, and the share in the regulated markets has gone up from 34% in FY21 to 53% in FY22, primarily driven by increased penetration in European and LATAM markets. Coming over to the yearly financials of the company, company's reported revenue from operations was 5,300 million in FY22 as against 3,912 million in FY21, a growth of 35%. EBITDA stood at 2,140 million for FY22 as against 1,732 million in FY21, a jump of 24%. EBITDA margins for FY22 were 40% as against 44% in FY21. PBT increased by 24% to 2,072 million for FY22 as against 1,673 million in FY21. PAT stood at 1,518 million for FY22, which was about 29% of the operating revenue. Now talking about the quarterly performance, there are revenue from operations for Q4 FY22 was 1,813 million as against 1,321 in Q4 FY21, delivering a growth of 37%. EBITDA stood at 752 million for Q4 FY22 as against 612 million in Q4 FY21, a jump of 12%. EBITDA margin stood at 41% in Q4 FY22 as compared to 51% for the same period last year. PBT increased by 15% to 755 million for Q4 FY22 as against 656 million in Q4 FY21. PAT stood at 462 million for Q4 FY22, which was about 25% of the operating revenue. Despite of the increase in the revenue in Q4 FY22 or Q4 FY21 by 37% and FY22 or 21 by 35%, the EBITDA growth was marginally lower for these same periods, primarily on account of launch of some of our products in the semi-regulated markets, wherein the average selling price for these products are relatively low as compared to regulated markets. We are in the process of getting these products registered in the regulated markets. Once this move into the regulated markets, we expect the margins as well as the average selling price for these products to grow up. The next point was on account of, in this year, in the first quarter, we had the fourth manufacturing block which got operational. Typically, it takes about one and a half years for any new manufacturing block to reach its peak capacity. For FY22, the blended capacity utilization for all the four blocks was 47%. There has been an increase in the employee expenses as well. That's primarily, again, driven by the fourth manufacturing block having got operation in FY22. Besides that, other operational expenses such as power, repair and maintenance have also gone up. As far as earnings per share is concerned, it has gone up from 16.89 in FY21 to 18.86 for FY22. On the balance sheet front, the property, plant and equipment in FY22 at addition of 948.75 million was primarily towards the fourth manufacturing block. Of this, 461.15 million was transferred from capital work in progress. Capital work in progress as on March 22 was 434.64 million. This was primarily towards factory building at Amarnath and infrastructure upgrades which are currently under progress at our site at Lote. Out of the total IPO proceeds of rupees 2000 million, after apportioning the IPO expenses of 117 million, till March 22, we have utilized 100 million towards the fourth manufacturing block, rupees 600 million towards repayment of working capital, and rupees 350 million for the general corporate spend for operational purpose and payment of first tranche of the Isambe plot which we acquired. From financial perspective, despite of a very turbulent year, we have managed healthy growth both in revenue and maintained healthy margins. Happy to announce final dividend of at the rate of 30%, which is subject to approval in the shareholders meeting. The overall focus going ahead is on backward integration to register existing products in regulated markets, CMO CDMO opportunities, new API molecules, infrastructure upgrades, building capacity and debottlenecking the existing facility to cater to future opportunities. It's exciting time ahead for the Supriya team and for all of us. This is all from our side. We can now open the floor for questions and answers. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, sir. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Naresh Vaswani from Sameeksha Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity, sir. So first question is on the gross margin. We have seen a drop both year on year and Q on Q. Well, you mentioned that there were introduction of some new products where realization is lower right now because of semi-regulated markets. But your regulated market share overall in FY22 was 53%. I think Q4 also we have maintained that share. So what is the reason for that and how do you see this trend going into FY23? Second question is on the capacity utilization. You said 47% is a blended utilization. So that would mean that if I take 71% for block A to C, then block B utilization would have been just around 10-12%. So is that correct? And then if on 47% we have done a turnover of 530 crores, then considering a 70% utilization, you would end up generating around 800 crores out of this 547 kiloliters per day capacity. Is that correct? These are the two questions.
Okay. Yes, as I stated in my speech, although the top line has increased and the regulated market share has increased, some part of the top line has come in from products which were sold in the semi-regulated markets. All of us are aware that the margins in the semi-regulated markets are lower as compared to that in the regulated markets. While these products are now getting registered, and some of them have already got registered, but it takes some time for selling it at a commercial scale to the customers. And that is currently work in progress. But as for the fourth quarter as well as for the full financial year, one of the main reasons why the margins have dipped is because of these products. The margins are very low for these products. That's point one. And as I also stated, the fourth manufacturing block, when it got operational, it takes typically about 4 to 5 months for any new manufacturing block to start reaching a particular capacity. For the full year, the blended capacity is 47%. Currently, we are working for the month of April, for example. When I say for the full year, the three blocks were operating for the full year and the fourth block was operating roughly for about 8 to 10 months. Okay. As things stand in April 22, we are currently operating at somewhere in the range of around 60 to 65% at a blended rate. Okay. So while the overheads are constant in terms of power, in terms of manpower, in terms of other expenses which are factory related, overall the recovery from that particular plant take some time. So that's one of the other reasons why there's a dip in the gross margins for about 3-4%. Yeah.
If I may add to what Ashish said, this is Shirish Ambaikar. When the new block was commissioned, the initial months were used for, you know, in typical pharma language for qualifying and performing validations. And the real capacity utilization started somewhere in November. So if you are talking about the capacity utilization of D block right now, it is almost at the same level as the older blocks.
So seems like we lost the connection for the current participant. We move to the next question from the line of Ashwin Agarwal from Akash Ganga Investment. Please go ahead.
So what will be the revenue for this vertical over next 3 years and profitability? And second question is, company has mentioned that it is in a process of further backward integration of 3 more products. So can you throw some light on which products and how much it would be beneficial?
On the revenue and the profitability front going ahead, historically, if you look at the last 4 to 5 years, we have grown at a CAGR of 24%. We are confident at growing at the same pace going ahead. On the profitability front, we have for FY21 we had an EBITDA of about 44%. This year we are doing around 40%. As to what would be the margins going ahead, good question. All of us are aware of the turbulent times that we are going through. There's a lot of volatility when it comes to the raw material prices. So it's a very difficult question to answer. But what I can assure you is we'll be maintaining a healthy EBITDA margin going ahead as well. Yeah. On the other front.
Yeah, as regards the backward integration, there are 3 products which we believe are going to be important in our portfolio going forward. So when we talk about backward integration, we would like to reduce our dependence on the suppliers of key starting materials. We would do the key starting materials ourselves. Currently, as we are registering these products in other geographies, we are working on the backward integration to develop processes for the key starting materials. So these are going to be three products which will be important from a future point of view in our portfolio.
Okay, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Kenil Mehta from Omkara Capital. Please go ahead.
Sir, what was the reason for increase in other current assets and other financial liabilities, which led to decrease in our CFO? Can you specify the line item?
Okay, as far as other current assets is concerned, it was 555 million as against March 22, as compared to 266 million in FY 21 March. This primarily comprises of advances to suppliers amounting to 169.85 million. These are, as we have stated earlier, there is a lot of capex work which is going on at the site. There's a new block which is in the pipeline, which is already, for which work has already started. In addition to that, the infrastructure upgrades for which work is already at a very advanced stage. So for that, we have made some advances to suppliers. And in addition to that, 139.34 million is towards the advance for new plot at Isambe, which is what Dr. Wax just stated sometime earlier. We have made the full payment, in fact, now for the new plot at Isambe, which is about 80,000 square meters. On the other current liabilities front, the increase, as on March 22, it was 274 million as against 234 million in FY21. Which primarily comprises of advances from customers amounting to 178.31 million.
Okay. And sir, did in this quarter our realization increase because our utilization levels are very low and our revenue growth is very high?
Can you rephrase that question?
Did in this quarter our realization increase drastically because the utilization levels are very low compared to earlier quarters?
The realization levels, I mean, I do not understand how would that be impacted by the capacity utilization. My operating revenue has gone up, yes. It's a multi-product facility, so it depends upon which product we focus on at a given point of time. So given the existing orders that we had, we focused on some specific products, and that has what has driven the revenue up. Yeah, but I don't understand how that has to do with the capacity utilization.
Okay, no issues. And sir, also have the Chinese market opened up?
All of us are. It's in public domain as of now. There are no positives. There's nothing which is in the positive on that front. But although we expect in maybe by end of this quarter things to ease out. Just have to wait and watch and keep your fingers crossed.
So then we should expect there should be some jump in our gross profit margin as soon as China opens.
I mean, I don't see any major impact as far as Chinese market on our margins are concerned. Yes, some of it is one of the key markets, but there are other markets which have picked up momentum. As I stated some time back, European and Latin markets have done exceedingly well in this financial year. So yes, and for the products which are now being rolled out, there are other markets which are also opening up, like US, Japan. So that's how it is.
Okay, no question from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Manish Saini from Hansraj Virendra Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Sir, please proceed with your question.
Yeah. Hello. Good evening, sir. Congratulations on good set of numbers. My question is related to CDMO space. If you can throw some light on that, what we are doing to grow in this segment and where do we see ourselves in next 3 to 5 years time frame? Thank you, sir.
Okay. On the CMO, CDMO business, we just made some beginnings few months ago. At the moment, we are working on 5 active projects, and because of the confidentiality agreement that we have signed with the customers, we are not able to give specific details. All we can say is there are 5 projects that are active, out of which 2 have progressed to the extent that the customers have approved our quality and we are progressing on the scale-up. The other 3 projects are at a stage where assessment of the quality is in progress or the development work is in progress. There are opportunities that are coming our way for the future, but it's too early to talk about it.
Okay, okay. Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 at this time. The next question is from the line of Jatin from InvestQ. The next question is from the line of Ashish Uplankar from InvestQ Investment Advisors. Please go ahead.
Can you hear me? Am I audible?
Yes, sir. Please proceed.
Yeah. Okay. You mentioned that the YOY drop in gross margins, if I look at, from 78% to around 61%. So quite a sharp fall if I look at it that way. So you mentioned that maybe the overheads were much higher because of the utilization being lower as a percentage to sales. So any other reason, if we can get a clear understanding of where the 17% of gross margin fall is, basically, is it because of a poorer mix or raw materials being too costly or whatever? Is it possible to get some clarity on that?
Yeah. So I think you need to relook at the figures. The figures that I have in front of me, as for the audited financials, FY21, our gross margins were 67%.
So I'm referring to Q4 margins.
You're referring to Q4 margins. Okay. One
yes.
Six. Just give me a second, please.
Yes.
Yeah, well, that's primarily on account of, as I stated earlier, it's a question of the product mix. Understand one thing, you got products which are very high yielding, margin yielding products, which are in the regulated markets. And then you have products which are in the semi-regulated markets where the margins are very, very low. Okay. So one of the reasons is primarily because of the product mix. Okay. That's one. The second part is on account of the increase in the overheads, as Dr. Shirish Ambedkar stated sometime back, with the new manufacturing setup. Although we were incurring expenses and overheads almost from April 22 onwards, the plant effectively got operational somewhere in November. So that's about 7 to 8 months of overheads which were hitting my P&L, against which there was not much of revenue which was coming in from that plant. So that's one of the reasons why you see a phenomenal drop as far as the margins are concerned. Yeah.
Nothing to do with pricing pressures or something like that. You are seeing declining
pricing. Nothing. See, we have been looking at the prices for our finished product as well as our raw materials very consistently. Okay.
Yeah.
There are no pressures as well as both the selling price as well as the raw material pricing for our key raw materials are concerned.
Okay. So as it stands today, can one assume that for this financial year, FY23, we look okay in terms of the gross margins to be sustained what we achieved in FY22? Is it okay to assume that? Because that's been quite a volatile part, basically, on the gross margins.
Yes. As Dr. Shirish said, now we have started reaching the peak capacity for D-block as well. Okay. So yeah, there would be some ease of pressure as far as the overhead absorption is concerned.
Okay.
Agreed. But let us also understand that these are very turbulent times when it comes to pricing. It has not impacted our business as yet. how things are going to pan out going ahead is only a question mark. All of us are going through that question mark. Okay. What I can assure you is definitely we will be looking at very healthy margins and a healthy growth as far as the top line happens. That much I can assure you.
Okay. Okay. Fine, sir. Thank you so much.
If I may add to what Ashish said, what we explained to you about our new block, you know, going operational last year and taking time to, you know, get, I would say, output that was contributing. This would happen again next year when the manufacturing block at Ambernath would be commissioned, and there would be a phase where, you know, there will be time to fill up the capacities there.
Yeah, so effectively, if you look at FY21 was a year where there was these three blocks which are running at peak capacity. But FY22 onwards, every year there will be a new manufacturing block that would be coming up, at least one of them. In this year, in fact, we are targeting two of those blocks. Okay, so yes, while we will try and deliver the best margins and the healthiest margins that we can, but also you need to keep at the back of your mind that with every increase in capacity, there is a potential for future growth. That's what we are targeting. Yeah.
Question. Mr. Tushar Bohra, if you have muted yourself, yeah, please proceed.
No, sorry, I couldn't hear the first part. Thanks for the opportunity and congratulations to the management for delivering a good set of numbers. Just to understand qualitatively, you know, is it fair to assume that, you know, since we launched a few products and I'm assuming a large part of the incremental growth in Q4 would have come from these products, or a reasonable part at least. Would it be fair to assume that an overall basis last year, our gross and EBITDA margins would have at least largely been in line, you know, maybe 100 bits here or there, but largely in line with what we delivered in FY21. And the overall dip in margins is more to do with these new products, which I assume will have a few quarters of curve before they start to deliver the real margins. Is that fair to assume?
Yeah. Thanks, Tushar, for that. Yes, you are spot on target. See, what happens is, till FY21, we had a set of products which were registered in the regulated markets. While those products were high margin yielding products and they themselves have a good potential to grow going ahead as well, but we also already had a basket of around 8 to 10 other products which were in the pipeline for getting registered in the regulated markets. Currently, we are selling them in the semi-regulated markets and their share has gone up. Typically, it takes about 1.5 years for any product to be registered in the regulated markets. And once these products, and now I would say in FY23, where is we would see a lot of traction as far as these other products are concerned, their increased contribution in the regulated markets, which would also mean there would be better margins as from those products as well. So if I compare apple to apple, minus these products and minus the expansion that happened in D block, FY21 and FY22 would be comparable in terms of margins.
Great, sir. Thanks. And to extend this logically further, if our new products start to contribute better margins in FY23, and assuming that the overall external environment doesn't worsen from here, and I know we're already dealing with significant negatives as an industry level, if it would be fair to assume that if things remain where they are today, or if hopefully they start to improve, then our overall margin should trend up from current levels, given that the new products also will start to contribute better margins in 23?
Yes, as far as only those existing range of products and the new products, once they start getting into the regulated market, the margins will go up as compared to what they were in FY22. But at the same time, try and understand that there would be new products that would also be rolled out in this financial year as well in FY23. So those products would, see, it's a cycle wherein every new product that is launched is first launched in the semi-regulated markets, we register these products and then they are launched in the regulated market. And the entire cycle time is around anywhere between 1.5 to 2 years. So while the margins would be better, at the same time there would be a push and pull of the new products. And to add to that, the new capacities that are coming up. For example, Ambernath is expected to roll out by end of this calendar year. Okay, so all those new capacities which are being rolled out, there would be again a pull on the margins slightly, which would bring it down, because initially there won't be the kind of revenue returns on these new projects which are coming up. Yeah, so that's how it would be. Over the next 3 to 4 years, as there are new projects coming up, as new products coming up, there would always be a push and pull of existing products getting into the regulated markets and new products coming into the semi-regulated markets, and the new capex which is at the lower capacity utilization. Yeah. Minor defects, obviously the margins have to improve.
Fair enough, but in that case, it would be fair to assume that the overall revenue growth that we are looking at should be much more than the number that we are comfortable guiding, that you've guided 24%. Because you are obviously increasing capacity substantially, you have done so over 22 and 23, you will be doing so. Plus, we have just announced some more, rather intention for more capex plans also, early intentions. So, fair to assume that our revenue guidance, our revenue target internally will be much higher than what you're guiding to the markets?
Fully agreed.
Okay, great. Sir, if you can help us understand on the specific products that you mentioned in regulated markets, which will come up over the next, say, 12, 15 months, what is the exact status and, which products you start to see first up? You can share more details around that, sir?
We can talk in terms of the therapies. So we are strong in the cough, cold and allergy segment. So there is one product which has, I would say, significant potential. This is just, I would say, starting to contribute. I think over the next 8 to 12 months, we could see a positive impact of this product.
Which others, sir? Where we expect regulated markets penetration?
As I said, the cold, cough and allergy segment. We have got one product which is going through, and there are a couple of more following that.
Got it. And anything further on the new opportunities that you briefly mentioned in the opening remarks, Shirish sir, regarding any specific areas of interest where you think there's a lot of opportunity?
It's mainly the CMO, CDMO that we talked about. Some projects are progressing. We're going to commercial scale.
So any specific therapies or chemistry competencies?
No, the chemistry is something that we are good at or we are strong at, and that is what is appealing to, the potential CMO, CDMO companies that want to partner with us.
Okay, sure. Thank you so much. I'll join back in queue.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Viraj Parekh from JMP Capital. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, just wanted some sense on the capacity utilization of our D block during Q4 FY22. I suppose we were at around 35% in Q3. So where were we, in Q4 regards to the same?
What I can tell you is, because it's a very complex calculation, okay, I would not go on it quarter on quarter. Currently, we are working at almost peak capacity as far as the D block is concerned. 60 to 65% is what we are looking at currently. I did the calculation for April. Okay, for the fourth quarter, I do not have the results available.
Okay. So if I heard it right, in terms of peak capacity, what you mentioned is 60 to 65% for block D, correct?
I would say, since it's a multi-product facility, somewhere around 75 to 78 would be a peak capacity for that block, of which we are very close to that in terms of utilization. Somewhere in the range of around 60 to 65. So in the next couple of, by the next 3 months, we expect to be reaching the peak capacity. We have orders in hand, we have products, we have the technical specifications. It's just a question of reaching the capacity.
Sure, sir. Sure. Thank you so much. Wishing you all the best. That's it from my side.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Siddharth Purohit from InvestQ Invest Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hello. So one thing, if you can explain a little better. As you said, when the new block goes on stream, initially it will hit the semi-regulated market, and then gradually it will start targeting the regulated market. So is it fair to assume that probably the incremental revenue that the new blocks will generate will have a little lower margins for the first 18 months or 1 year, and then probably those start those set of molecules start hitting the regulated market, then we'll start getting the peak margins, or maybe margins what we are generating right now. Is that right to understand?
I wish it was so simple. Let us understand, the capacity increase which is happening is not only for the product. It is, we are also scaling up the capacities for the backward integration part of it, for which there won't be an incremental revenue, but that would definitely be a cost saving. And there are very hidden benefits in terms of security of supplies, as in when we want them, rather than being dependent on imports. So that's one of the areas where the where the capacity increase is going to happen. The other capacity increase is happening on products which are already in the regulated markets, for which we are seeing a good traction as far as the regulated markets are concerned. So for those, for that particular utilization, the margins would be higher because those products are being already registered and sold in the regulated markets. And the third part would be for products which are newly being rolled out, for which obviously, as you rightly said, since those products would be initially launched in the semi-regulated markets, the margins would be lower. Then there are some other products which may not be that highly regulated, which are in the pipeline. So for those products, especially when you are looking at CMO, CDMO space, for example, so for those products, the margins would be static, a constant all throughout the tenure of the agreement that we will be signing up. So it's a combination of all these things that needs to be understood. Yeah. So it is not so simple ki bhai aapne itna dala to 18 mahine ke andar itna margin aane ko chalu ho jayega. Every product has a different margin, has a different market. Some products may have very high margin, some products may have a steady margin. Okay, it's a combination of all these things. Yeah.
So just extending the same question, now that we have enough time to probably communicate to our client before the new blocks come on stream, so is there scope that we can expedite the entire process for reducing the time gap for launching the product, or it takes a minimum that much of time, say 1 year, 18 months minimum?
In this business, it takes about 1 to 1.5 years to create a capacity. After that, the clock for the regulated market starts, which is typically 2 to 2.5 years. So this is something of a standard time frame, I would say, in starting new products, developing new products and working with customers. Even the customers understand this, and they also are fair in, looking at these timelines, and they accept those timelines.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Jatin from Invest Savvy Portfolio. Please go ahead.
Congratulations, sir, for a good set of numbers.
Sorry to interrupt, but your voice is breaking up, sir. Maybe request you to move to a better reception area, please.
Hello?
Yeah, this is better, sir. Please proceed.
Yeah.
Again, sir, sorry to interrupt. Once again, your voice is breaking up, sir.
Hello.
Sir, may we request you to rejoin the queue, please. Check your device. Thank you. The next question is from the line of Anil Kamath from True Freedom Consultant. Please go ahead. Mr. Anil Kamath, your line is in talk mode. Please proceed with your question.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes, sir. Please proceed now.
Yeah, thank you for giving this opportunity and congratulations to the entire team. Just one question is about the cash flow, where we have seen a significant increase in the cash in the books. I don't have the numbers, but I could see there was a significant increase in the cash flow from the finance activities. So can you clarify how has this happened? Hello?
Yeah, just give me a second, please.
Yeah.
Well, from finance activities, if you look upon it, that's primarily because of the proceeds from the IPO. 200 crores were earmarked for the company, and 200 crores was what came in. As far as the end utilization of the 200 crores is concerned, or 2,000 million is concerned, for till March 22, we had, of the 2,000 million that we received, we have utilized 100 million towards the fourth manufacturing block. Sorry, the fifth manufacturing block, 600 million towards repayment of working capital, 139 million for the first tranche of Izambe, the plot that we just acquired from MIDC in Izambe. Okay, so that has been the utilization. So that's as far as the finance activities are concerned, yeah. So that's primarily the net effect of what you're seeing in terms of inflow from the IPO and the utilization of those funds, yeah.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ridhima Goyal from Equinbee. Please go ahead. Ridhima Goyal, your line is in talk mode. Please proceed with your question.
Hello.
Since there is no response from the current participant, we move to the next question from the line of Naresh Vaswani from Sameeksha Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the follow-up. Sir, what was your contribution from top three products in Q4 2022 and similarly for last year Q4?
My apologies for that. I won't be in a position to answer that question.
Okay. And on the creditors and debtors value mentioned in the presentation, what would be the normalized days for FY 2023? Do you see it normalizing in the next 6 to 12 months?
As far as the working capital, the increase is primarily on account of inventory going up, and for reasons that we have stated earlier. Just to ensure, see, what has happened is we have been in this business for the last 34 years plus, and we have been dealing with these customers, and they depend and rely on us for our supplies. Given the last 12 months, all of us are aware of the multiple challenges that we were faced with, what from the shutdown of factories in China, lockdown in China, Ukraine war, the Suez Canal blockage. With all that, we took a conscious call of increasing the inventory. That has helped us to reach the 37-35% growth there over last year, where primarily because one of the reasons was that. The receivables has gone up primarily because in the fourth quarter, the sales within India and the sales to LATAM country, which for which the credit period is much higher as compared to the rest of the sales, was at its peak. So these two are there. Going ahead, you asked me as to where it would normalize. Well, I would put it, the working capital was somewhere in the range of around 67-85 days. We expect it to reach the same level, but obviously, once things change, both on the lockdowns, COVID lockdowns that are happening, and the Ukraine war, coming to an end, once things normalize, then we would obviously want to bring it back to those same levels.
Sure. And one last question from my end. The other expenses, as you mentioned, that now Block D is getting fully utilized. So Q4 exit run rate of around 22-25 crores. Should we consider this to continue in the next year, or do you see substantial increase in FY 2023 on the quarterly run rate?
Well, at least for the first for the next two quarters, I expect it to be the same. But from the third quarter, once the Ambarnath block starts getting operational, that would go up to some extent.
Okay. Sure. Thank you. All the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Monica Joshi from Hornbill Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi. I just wanted to understand the tax implications. So what would your effective tax rate be for the following year and the deferred tax component that you had in Q4?
Well, in the third quarter, there was a deferred tax adjustment. If I take out the effect of that, just give me a second. My PAT for Q4 FY 2022, which was 463 million, would actually have been 529 million, as against 485 million in Q4 FY 2021. For the full year, there won't be any impact, but quarter-on-quarter in Q3, there was a reversal adjustment of deferred tax, which has been nullified in Q4 FY 2022. So as a result of it, there is a slightly higher provision for deferred tax, and as a result of it, the PAT for Q4 FY 2022 appears to be slightly lower, but in effect, it is higher. Yeah.
And.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Full year, FY 2023 and beyond, so what would your effective tax rate be? Should we consider it at the same rate? It was about 26.7%. So should we take that same rate, or should it be lower?
It would be 26.7%, but understand there's a depreciation impact as well. So effectively, if you cannot directly calculate it on PBT, but yeah, it would be in that range.
Understood. And just one question for Shirish sir. When you talk about the CDMO operations and the CMO operations, I understand that these would take time for things to materialize, but would you need dedicated facilities for these, or would they be?
No, no. So it's too early to say whether it is going to be dedicated facilities. It could result in that, but the projects that we are having right now at that particular stage or phase, we are utilizing our existing infrastructure. But it may call for, you know, higher capacities, and as we are building higher capacities, we are getting prepared for that, you know, any eventuality.
When would you reach a stage when you realize that you would need to step up your infrastructure plans for CDMO?
So, you know, the customers in the CMO/CDMO business, they give good visibility to us in terms of how the projects would pan out. So, our capacities would be aligned with their requirements and their timelines as well.
Having said that, Monica, I would also want to add that that's exactly the reason why we are also building upon the land space, because that is one of the factors which can work in our favor, because whenever these multinationals they come up with any opportunities, that becomes a selling point in terms of you have space, and then building up the capacity takes anywhere between about 8 to 12 months. In 12 months flat, you can start with the converting these opportunities and commercializing them. Yeah.
Understood. I just wanted to understand whether are we investing a little too early in this opportunity, you know? Because if we do that, then we are blocking capital a little too early. That was the limited point in this, in the discussion.
No, 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 no. Typically, how it happens is, you need to see, it's not just acquiring the land. There are a lot of other certifications that you need to be there in place. You need to get the connection for electricity, you need to get the environment clearance, which is a time, I mean, these are all time-consuming processes. So that's what, that's the reason it's always better to be a bit ahead of time, okay? And see, again, as Dr. Shirish said, while there may appear to be five opportunities at this point of time, but typically how it pans out is once even a single of these, any one of these opportunities do click, that would line up a lot of other opportunities. And once for that, you need to have, to begin with, space, and then the next part would be the capacity. So having space would be the first step in that direction. And also understand, for whatever projects we are doing for our own APIs, we also need to build up for the backward integration, which takes a lot of space and capacity. So we need to have, and with eBlock coming up and getting operational about just about 12 months down the line, there is no space left for us at the same premise, within the same premises. So for any future opportunity, we need to have space and then build upon that.
Yeah. Just to add to what Ashish said, we are creating capacities first for backward integration. Number two, for the current products that we have, which we see have growth potential. Third is the R&D pipeline that we have. These would require capacities. And fourth, of course, is the CMO/CDMO space.
Understood, Cherish. Lastly, I understand that the US FDA has started physical inspections in India, and I believe that you cleared one of the inspections, the joint inspection from two European countries very successfully. Congratulations on that. Can you share some timelines that you may have in any regulatory authority in the coming months or coming quarters, especially with the European or U.S. Authorities which you have lined up at Lotte? So is there anything that
nothing,
you look forward to?
There's nothing that is at the moment lined up. We got a notice for the European inspection and that was completed. There's nothing that is there now in the immediate future. They may come any moment, we don't know.
Okay, and as far as the US FDA is concerned, the plants are cleared, is it?
The last inspection was in 2019 and the site was approved.
It's a three times US FDA approved site, yeah.
Okay. Thank you so much, Ray. Thank you so much.
Thank you,
Purika.
The next question is from the line of Suhas Naik from Creda Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. I have a couple of questions. So the first question is on the current portfolio that we have. What is the potential of these products that we have over the next 2-3 years? What kind of growth one can expect there? Second is on the pipeline of products that we have, which we are likely to launch over the next couple of years. Could you talk about the market opportunity for those products which are in the pipeline right now or development phase? And the third question is on the overall strategy. Are we actually planning ourselves or modeling ourselves like DVs somewhere closer to that business model? If you can talk about the model, the business model that you have in mind, actually, that would be great.
Okay, I'll try to answer the three questions. Talked about the growth potential for the current products. These products are in the market for the last several years or decades, and the company has a position of strength in those products, and we will continue to hold on to that. And the products are not degrowing, these are growing only. In terms of the strategy for product portfolio, we typically would like to strengthen the basket of our current products. We would like to offer a broader basket in the same therapy. That's what we are working on. But that doesn't stop us from exploring other therapeutic areas if the opportunity is right. For example, if we get some access to unique technology or we develop something unique that can be utilized for a product that has got large volume potential and we look at that, there could be such opportunities. And of course, we are actively pursuing the CMO/CDMO opportunities anyway.
So about those products that we talked about, are there any key like this large potential products which are there in pipeline? Are you working on any of those? Just wanted to understand that.
We do have some. We can't be telling you specifically the names,
yeah,
but these
yeah.
are there.
Okay. And on the overall business model, sir, if you
on
can
the
make
business
a summary.
Model, I think we follow what is good for us and has been working for us. I don't know when you say Divi's model, we don't know about it. But we try to be in the business where we have products with large volumes, scope for backward integration and unique position. That's what I would say.
Thank you. Thanks a lot.
Margins. And of course the margins that are there.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, due to time constraint, we take that as the last question. I now hand the conference over to Dr. Satish Wagh for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Thank you. Of course, closing comments. Thank you for being. First of all, I thank all of you for joining and having a good questions and answers session with us. Let me tell you that we have completed 35 years in the industry and we are very positive about our business model which we are running. We have a lot of opportunities which we will certainly encash. Some of the questions when I was looking at, people were asking about the new land which we have taken. I would like to say that my 35 years of experience always says that you cannot grab a land so quickly. It has its own timeline. And in Maharashtra, the place where we got Isambe is the last place which is recently taken over by MIDC, and next 2 years we don't know any MIDC land will be available. Looking at the proximity nearby Mumbai, one is very near to Nhava Sheva port where our imports and exports do come. Looking at the new airport which is coming at Panvel, we understood the urgency and the importance of the land and we have bought it. There are a lot of opportunities which I am seeing in the last 3-4 months in my visits to various of places where people are keen to collaborate with Supriya, and I am sure the business model which we are currently running will certainly move to that direction. And of course, you all will be with us to support us, and we assure you that the 2022-23 will be also similar way a success towards Supriya Life Science. I am thankful for giving me the time and opportunity to explain you about Supriya Life Science. Thanks a lot.
Thanks to all of you for being here and hearing us patiently. Thanks a lot again.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Supriya Life Science Limited, that concludes this conference. We thank you all for joining us and you may now disconnect your lines.